Hallelujah. Praise the Lord, everybody. This is Prophetess Dawn, and I am the senior pastor of Life Path Apostolic Agape House of Prayer. What a mighty God we serve. God is a great God, and He is worthy of all of the praise. He's worthy of all of the honor. He's worthy of all of the glory, and we thank Him tonight. We thank Him tonight. We thank Him for His Holy Spirit and ask that He will take full reign tonight, as God has sent me on assignment to deliver a message to His people. Tonight, we're going to talk about prayer. We're going to talk about the power of prayer. We're going to talk about the effectual and fervent prayer of the righteous availing much. We're going to talk about how do we get in the presence of the Lord that He will hear our plea. My God, what a mighty, mighty, mighty God we serve. I'm excited about this word tonight. Yet, I feel compelled to share. Oh my God, what a mighty God. Every time I come on this podcast, I'm in awe of what God is doing. All of the many, many blessings that He is bestowing upon us. It has been a while, maybe a few months since I've been on my podcast. I'm figuring some things out. I'm telling y'all, I keep saying that I go back to some of my podcasts and God will give me an unction and I'll pursue it. And next thing you know, I drop the ball, but I am picking it up and I'm figuring it out. I'm trying to get some of my older podcasts, some of the older messages. I'm trying to convert them from audio so I can add them to my YouTube page. So that people can hear what thus saith the Lord. Now listen, anybody who knows me knows that I am not building a platform for the sake of my own vain glory. But I believe that God has used me in a way to speak to His people. And as a result, it is my duty to make sure that I leverage each and every platform that He gives me for His name's sake, that His people will receive His word. When God called on me for this assignment, as He has called me to pastor His people, those souls that He is sending by way of this ministry, He said, "Do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? And if you love me, then feed my sheep." Amen. Amen. He said, "Feed my sheep." And not just feed them naturally, not just feed them psychologically, not just feed them emotionally, but I want you to feed their spirit. I want you to feed their spirit. And so long as God wants to use me, I will be an extension of His voice to His people. Amen. So I got a word tonight. I want to talk about prayer. I want to get into the message. I've got a few notes that I want to go through, but I just want to encourage somebody tonight to do what thus saith the Lord. God has begun to separate me. I go through these seasons of my life, and God was moving in such a mighty way that the enemy had brought me under such great attack, such great attack. And God said, He said, "It is time for you to separate yourself." And as I began to remove those people who were in close proximity to me, who meant me no good. And listen, let me be very clear. It doesn't mean that they didn't necessarily love me, but they allowed the enemy to use them to deter the work of God. And so God allowed me to separate myself. And when I tell you the blessings of the Lord, the blessings began to pour out in such a way, I'm telling you, God is doing a great work and He's continuing to do. And I've got to do my part. Amen. Because He has called me for such a time as this, and I must be obedient to the will of God. Amen. This is His platform. And it is my responsibility to allow him to use me in any way he deems necessary. Tonight, we're going to talk about prayer, and we are going to pray. We are going to pray. I'm seeing patterns all throughout the world where people are trying to falsify or trying to simulate in a illegal way the reality and the realness of who God is. They're imitating is the word I'm looking for. They're imitating God. And we're seeing it at such a great magnitude that people who are influential are causing false converts and they're misrepresenting the kingdom. They are misrepresenting the kingdom, imposing themselves as men and women of God. And we know that God is not, he is not pleased. And this is why Prophetess is moving in the direction that God is taking me in when it comes to planting this ministry, planting this church, because we're going to be for real about our Father's business. Amen. I shared maybe my last podcast a few months ago. We had found a location in the Dayton area, right outside of one of the local colleges. And it was a pretty decent facility, but it had some repairs that needed to be done. And right before I had even signed the lease, and we were prepared pay our deposit, and things just began to unravel and I'm not going to say fall apart, but it came together according to God's will, and we had to forego that opportunity. Now, I don't know. God may circle us back around and we may go back in that direction. I don't know. But I know that God said, not now for that location. And we have got to be very careful that we hear clearly from God. Now there's another opportunity that God is opening up the doors for. And I thank him. And I am grateful to God, but I am being very cautious and extremely careful in hearing his voice. I do not want to be guilty of misleading God's people. What I've been struggling with over these last few weeks is just understanding why those of us who I know love the Lord, we are so easily persuaded. We are so easily persuaded by folk who ain't got no God in them. No God in them. They are building for their own ego. They're building for their own agendas. And God is not in it. I'm telling you, if you don't do nothing else, hear Prophetess tonight. Increase your prayer life. Pray without ceasing. Get into the presence of the Lord, because this is the season that we must hear from him and be directly instructed by his will. This is the season that you want to be in the perfect will of God and not in his permissive will. But you want to be in his perfect will. I got this little cough going on here. A couple of weeks ago, I traveled to Atlanta to go visit my daughter. And we were on a flight. And I'm telling you, everybody was coughing and hacking and all kinds of stuff. And I got back home and brought home more than what I left with. And so I am at the tail end, I believe, of this illness that I've been going through. And I'm so grateful that I'm just about over it, but I still have a dry, cough. So bear with me. took some cough medicine to suppress the cough before I came on, but I can still feel the tickle. So y'all bear with Prophetess tonight, but we're going to talk about prayer. And I just want to encourage you all tonight to know that God is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. God is a God of principles. He is a God of principles and order and structure. And we must walk holy, righteous, and we must walk according to His will. We have become so relaxed. I heard something earlier today. Someone was talking about the mass exodus. The mass exodus away from the traditional church, away from the traditional church. And I believe that God is calling us, He is calling us to reform what we have allowed to be broken in the institution of the church. God ordained the church. He gave us, as a supplement of His love, He gave us the church and fellowship one with another. But it seems like around the time of COVID, we had our out. And God is saying, I'm calling you back. I'm calling you back. Calling you back to the foundation. Calling you back to the basics. We need that covering. We need that covering. But not the way that we were before. We ought not even want to be the same. There are some traditions and some principles that we had been following culturally that had nothing to do with God. And God is saying, I'm separating you. I'm separating you from that. And He is calling for the remnant within the remnant. Amen. So we want to be separated, the wheat from the tare, and we want to be those who God is calling for in these last and evil days. We ought to have our sights on Him. Let's be kingdom minded, and we're going to be about our Father's business. Amen. We get so busy in life. We get so busy in even ministry that we don't take out the time to fellowship and to commune with God. So we're going to talk tonight about prayer. We're going to talk about prayer and how God responds to prayer and how He responds to the prayers of the righteous. Amen. So let's get into the word. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, everybody. God is a prayer answering God, and He is calling us back to prayer. He's calling us back to prayer. Many of us have fallen away from what we know, the foundation of what we know. We have seen over the last maybe 2 or 3 years, the increase in the attack of the enemy. He is increasing his attack because he knows that his days are numbered. He knows that time is running out. And what does he do? He tries to give us a false sense of security. He tries to give us a false sense of security. He makes us or leads us to believe through his deception that we can do it all by ourselves. He makes us believe through his deception that we are okay in not going and communicating with the Father. What is prayer? What is prayer? Prayer is communication. Prayer is communing with the Father. Amen. So we're going to talk about it today. God wants us back. He wants us back. And he wants us back in a magnificent way. He wants us back. He wants us back. Amen. So we're going to talk about prayer today, and we're not just going to talk about it. We're going to be about it, because we know that the prayers of the righteous availeth much. And sometimes God just needs us to release a word in the atmosphere. Sometimes God needs us to walk in obedience to his will and pronounce and proclaim and declare and decree the things that have already been declared in the heavenlies, that they shall be done in the earth. Amen. 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 All right. So keep up. We're going to talk about prayer. What is prayer? What is prayer? Prayer, according to the Bible, the Bible shows us that prayer is defined as a form of communication and communion with God. It is a form of communication. It's how we speak to or talk to God. Prayer in the Bible is shown as a multifaceted act of communicating with God, and it includes elements. It includes attributes such as adoration, confession, supplication, thanksgiving, intercession, and guess what? It includes us listening to God. Prayer serves as a means of deepening our relationship with God and seeking his guidance and provision and aligning our will with God's divine purpose. What is prayer? What is prayer? Prayer is a way for us as saints, as kingdom citizens, to express our thoughts, our feelings, our needs, and our desire to God while listening for his guidance and his wisdom. The Bible helps us to understand that prayer has multiple aspects, key aspects, as a foundation. And what God wants us to understand today, as we get back into a posture of prayer, a posture of communicating and communing with the Father. My God, I'm at the tail end of this dying, whatever it was to try to come into my body. Aren't you glad that God created the body to heal itself? My God, if I ain't do nothing else but to hydrate this body and get the right nutrients and vitamins inside of me, it would heal itself. Amen. Amen. All right. So prayer has multiple aspects to it. And the key aspects of prayer that God wants us to understand on today is that prayer is communicating with God. It is communication with God. Prayer is a means by which we can communicate directly with God, speaking to him as we would to a loving father. Speaking to him as we would to a loving father. And I oftentimes say, I am so grateful that in my walk, God has allowed me to have the physical manifestation of a father and a mother as I journey through this path in life. I am so grateful to God for that. I am so grateful that he has given me an opportunity to be a parent. And these things are an extension of God's love, allows us to see his love demonstrated in the flesh. And I do not take it for granted. I thank God for every morsel, every crumb, every bit of my experience with my parents. I am grateful that God counted me worthy to have that experience, good, bad, or indifferent. I am grateful to him because I know that there are many who have never experienced God in that way. Amen? So prayer is communicating with God. Prayer is adoration and worship. The Bible says that he that worships God must worship him in spirit and in truth. We must worship God in spirit and in truth. God is a great God, and he is worthy of all of the praise, all of the honor, all of the glory. Prayer allows us to adore God, to praise God, to worship God. It acknowledges his holiness and his greatness and his majesty. Can you imagine? Can you imagine knowing a great God? Knowing a God that is good as the God that we serve and not being able to adore him, not being able to praise him or to worship him? I could just imagine just combusting from the inside out. Just because God is so good. And he has given us a means by which we can adore him. We can worship him. We can praise him because he's so worthy, because he's so good, and he deserves all of the adoration and all of the worship. Prayer is confession. Prayer is confession. It allows us to confess our sins and our shortcomings to God, seeking his forgiveness and his cleansing. We go before the Lord and ask him to forgive us for our sins and help us to forgive others, but not, we don't stop there. We don't stop there as we repent and turn from our ways. Prayer allows us to ask God to cleanse us and to receive cleansing and deliverance. What is prayer? Prayer is supplication and petition. Prayer is a means by which it allows us to bring our requests, our needs, and our concerns before God, asking him to intervene and make provision for the things that we stand in need of, knowing that his providence will provide for everything that we need. Prayer is supplication and petition. Prayer is thanksgiving. It gives us an opportunity to demonstrate our gratitude and our thanksgiving for what God has done for us. Thanksgiving is a significant part of prayer because it allows us to express our appreciation to God for his blessings and his answered prayers. What is prayer? Prayer is intercession. It involves interceding on behalf of others, lifting up the needs of others and the concerns to God. Sometimes we get so caught up in our own situation and circumstances, we forget to petition God on behalf of others. But prayer is intercession. What is prayer? Prayer is listening. Prayer is listening. Effective prayer also involves listening to God for guidance, for wisdom, for direction, and not just talking all the time. We must listen to hear from God. What is prayer? Prayer is relationship building. Prayer serves to deepen our relationship with God, fostering intimacy and trust. Oftentimes, as I reflect on God's goodness and the fact that he allows us to know him, he allows us to know him through the pardon of our sins. He allows us to know him in an intimate way. There are those who are lost, those who believe that God does not exist. There are those who have never had an intimate or close relationship with God, and I don't take it for granted that he allowed us to have prayer, communication, and communion with him that increases our intimacy with him, that builds our relationship with him. What is prayer? Prayer is persistence. Prayer is persistence. Luke 18, 1 through 8 tells us the importance of not giving up in prayer. I remember early in my walk, well, I'm not going to say early in my walk because I was mature in Christ and I had began ministering. And one of the elders, bless her heart, she meant well. And I won't take anything away from her in that season of the journey of her walk, but she meant well. But there was something that she said that never, ever, ever resonated with me as she was instructing us. I believe we were maybe in a meeting for leaders, for the ministers, and she was instructing us and teaching, and she made a statement based on her philosophy of who God was. And she said, once you pray a thing, if you continue to pray it, you demonstrate your lack of faith in God to perform that thing that you asked him for. And even in that moment, what she said never resonated with me, because persistence is what we do when we are seeking God for something, when we are, you know, and I'm not going to get into this, but oftentimes, and this is the thing that God is bringing us forth, the remnant within the remnant to course correct the body of Christ. We put all of these barriers, constraints on the men and women of God based on principles that are not theologically accurate. This is why we got to get into the word for ourselves. And I oftentimes say that the best weapon, one of the greatest weapons that God has given us to combat the enemy is literacy. Literacy, getting in the word and getting the interpretation for yourself. Now, we need the men and women of God to interpret the word as God gives them the word and uses us as a mouthpiece. But you got to get in that thing for yourself. Had I not known through intimacy, relationship, and getting in the word for myself, I would have ran with what she said. And every time I prayed a prayer, I would pray it once and be done. And if God didn't answer that prayer, I would begin to question the foundation of my relationship with him. But nonetheless, prayer is, what is prayer? Prayer is persistence. And we learn that in Luke 18, 1 through 8, which emphasizes the importance of not giving up, excuse me, in prayer. What is prayer? Prayer is alignment with God's will. It is alignment with God's will. A key aspect of biblical prayer is aligning your desires with the request. I mean, your desires and requests with God's will. We saw this in the Garden of Gethsemane, where Jesus prayed. He said, not my will, but yours be done. Not my will, but yours be done. My God, what is prayer? Prayer is communication and communion with God. Now, see, I done already got distracted. I was talking about this elder. And here's another thing that she said that never, ever, ever resonated with me. And we got so caught up in this false teaching of prosperity and condensing God to this genie in the bottle, to where we lost the foundation of our knowledge of who he was. We stopped depending on prayer and we began to depend on, oh, we're gonna name it and claim it. We're gonna sow up. That was what she instructed us. If you want something from God, sow up. The devil is a liar. We done went from we done went from believing on other gods and making idols and going before them for our needs, to supply for us, to witchcraft and conjuring up things. We went from that to superstition. That's where I'm trying to go to. We went to superstition. We were relying on that. And when I say we, I'm talking culturally to our African American culture. We went from that to lottery, to the era of the prosperity preaching, where we began to sow into these false prophets, and I'm going to call them prophets, P-R-O-F-I-T-S, sowing into them. And I love her. I love this elder. I believe she loves God, but she was ill-informed and misadvised. And she tried to teach and train us in that same way. But nonetheless, God gave us discernment and the ability to get into the word for ourselves. But anyway, what she was instructing was, if you are looking for a miracle, if you are looking for God to show up in a magnificent way in your life, in a grand way, then you need to sow up. And what she meant by that is sow into somebody who is higher ranking in you. So if I'm looking for a financial blessing, I need to sow into somebody who is financially blessed. Come on now. If I'm looking for a house, I need to sow into somebody who's got a house or a ministry where God is prospering in that area. That is ignorance. That was ignorance, and we were where we were in that season of our development, but it never, ever resonated with me. And God is saying that I am the true source of your supply. I am the source of your supply. And because of that, he has given us prayer. He has given us prayer. He wants to take us back. He wants us back. He wants us back. And if you are under the sound of my voice, if you are under the sound of my voice, it is not by chance. God brought you this way to remind you that it is time to pray. It is time to pray without ceasing. We are in a season where we cannot afford to make one step without the wisdom and the guidance from God. And in order that we can hear from him, we must communicate with him. Amen. I got a few more things that I want to say, and then I'm going to let you go, because I wanted this message to be light, because this is a call to action. It is a call to action. God wants us back. He wants us back. He wants, and it's not about developing a regimen of prayer and the sense of religion. And the sense of religion, we saw it with the Pharisees and Sadducees and how they put on their performances. That is not what God is looking for. He's looking for intimacy and relationship with us, for us to get into his presence. And don't you rely on anybody else's relationship with him to dictate and determine the relationship that you have with him. I said earlier, I'm grateful that God has given me the opportunity to have a father in the flesh on earth, to have that godly experience. I come from a family of 12 siblings. My parents had 12 siblings together. And each and every one of us had a unique, specific relationship with my father. Every relationship that we had with my father was unique to our bond with one another. And if I didn't learn anything else about the character of Christ, his personality, what I learned is that God honors the uniqueness of that relationship. And I don't have to simulate or imitate anything that anybody else has. We're talking about prayer this morning. We're talking about prayer, talking to your Father, talking to the Creator, talking to the one who designed you from the inside out. And since I'm talking, I'm going to tell y'all, I don't play all of this praying to the universe, praying to the nature, praying to the gods, all of that mess. I pray to Jesus. Ah, We're going to make this plain and make it known. I pray to Christ, to Jesus, to Christ, the anointed one. I pray to God. I believe in God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. I believe in the Holy Trinity. I am not basing my prayers or casting my lot to the elements. The devil is a liar. He has a name. He has a name. Jehovah Jireh, my provider. Jehovah Nissi. Come on now. He has a name. He has a name. And I pray to him, Yahshua. Amen. Jesus. I'm not getting into all of the semantics or antics that the enemy tried to throw up our way. But I tell you one thing. I'm not praying to no universe. Universe can't do nothing for me. Anything that has a beginning, has an end, and needed something to create it, you can't do nothing for me. All right. So I wanted to go through just a few things, so that we understand the conditions by which God answers prayer. And the number one condition that we have to understand that we need to build from this morning as it relates to prayer is that God answers prayers because of his willingness to answer prayers. God's willingness to answer prayers is the number one condition by which our prayers are answered. He said, I am that I am. God does what he wants, when he wants, and how he wants. He is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. He knows the end from the beginning. And he does what he wants when he wants to do it. God is in covenant with himself. And the number one condition by which God answered prayers is his willingness to answer prayers. And why is he willing to answer our prayers? Because he delights in the prayer of the upright. Proverbs 15 and 8 tells us God delights in the prayer of the upright. Song of Songs, God desires to hear our voice. Song of Songs, chapter 2, verse 14. Y'all better get in your word. You better get in your word, because some of us have fallen off of what we know. Some of us have fallen from the foundation of what we know. We've been met with many trials and tribulations, and many of us have just thrown our hands up. I can see in the spirit realm a lot of us throwing up the white flag. We surrender, and not the right type of surrendering. We just tired. We're tired because we are not employing what we know. Understanding that God's willingness to answer prayers will lead him to answer prayers. Why? Because he delights in the prayers of the upright. He desires to hear our voice. God's willingness to answer prayers is because he has established a covenant with his people. I want you to, in your time of meditation and consecration, I want you to get into the word. I want you to read Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 through 8. And then I want you to go to Matthew 21 and 22, chapter 21 and 22. Write these things down. I want you to go to Mark 11, chapter 11, verse 24, John 14, 13 through 14, John 15 and 7, and John 16 and 24. Now, I don't have time to read these to you, but you know how prophetess is. I love to read the word because I believe that if we don't read it in the midst of the message, we ain't going to go back and read it. But y'all, go, because we need the word. We need the word. It helps to supplement. It helps to supplement our day. It helps to supplement our day. I've been taking these vitamins. I told you all, I got sick and I started to take these vitamins to build up my immune system. And my immune system becomes accustomed to receiving these supplements that are needed to boost my immunity, to make me bulletproof to these diseases that are trying to creep into my body. What are some basic conditions by which God honors and answers prayers? Because we've learned that the primary condition that God honors when answering prayer is simply his willingness to answer. And he's willing to answer because he delights in the prayers of the upright, because he desires to hear our voice, because God has made covenant with us and it pleases him to answer our prayers. But there are some conditions by which principles that God honors in prayer. This is about going back to the basics, going back to the foundation of our knowledge of who God is. Praying in the name of Jesus. Praying in Jesus' name, because there's power in Jesus' name. As we begin to pray and seek God, we must employ the power that he has given us. The power that he has given us in his name. I'm going to give you an assignment today, and we're going to do this. And like I said, just because I want you to get the word, I want you to get the assignment, because this is a call to action. But in your prayer time, in your meditation time, in your time of consecration, I want you to go back and I want you to get into Romans 8 and 32, Philippians 4 and 19, 2 Corinthians 1 and 20. And these scriptures show the power of prayer in Jesus' name. Another condition that postures us to have our prayers answered is praise and thanksgiving, incorporating and including praise and thanksgiving into our prayer. Psalms 104 employs us to pray and to give him praise for who he is. God is a God who enjoys hearing the praises of his people. A lot of times as a parent, as a matter of fact, on yesterday, I got so frustrated with my family because I feel oftentimes that they are ungrateful. I raised an ungrateful bunch, but baby, they mine and I love them. But I get so frustrated when I work so hard to enhance the quality of their life and ask them to do the simplest thing. And they can't do it. It's all right because I know and understand what I got. But come on, sometimes just a thank you will be all right. A thank you would be all right. Another condition by which God will honor and answer our prayers is if we pray without condemnation and with boldness. If we pray and go before God without condemnation, the Holy Spirit comes to convict and not condemn. Who God has set free, let them be free indeed. Who the Lord has set free. He came to give us liberty and freedom and not condemnation. It is the enemy who condemns. God convicts that we may be released, freed, and released from bondage. I'm going to take you to Psalms 66 and 18. Psalms 66 and 18. Y'all know I can't help myself. Because I know we don't get in our word like we ought to. The word of God says in Psalm 66, and we're going in the Message Bible, and this starts at verse 16 through 20. And the word of God says, all believers come here and listen. Let me tell you what God did for me. I called out to him with my mouth. My tongue shaped the sounds of music. If I had been cozy with evil, and the Lord would have never listened. But he most surely did listen. He came on the double when he heard my prayer. Blessed be God. He did not turn a deaf ear. He stayed with me loyal in his love. What is the psalmist telling us? He is telling us that God heard our plea. He was faithful to answer because we are not cozied up with evil. If it wasn't so, if it was so, he would not have heard us. But because he is loyal to us, he was faithful to answer our prayers. Another condition of prayer in which you get your prayers answered is praying with the right motive. We got to seek God's glory. We have to seek his glory. James 4, 2 through 3. Let's go there. Let's go there. I'm going to do this in the NIT. The word of God says, you want what you don't have, so you scheme and kill to get it. You are jealous of what others have, but you can't get it, so you fight and wage war to take away from it. Yet you don't have what you want because you don't ask God for it. And even when you ask, you don't get it because your motives are all wrong. You want only what will give you pleasure. The word of God goes on to say, you adulterers, don't you realize that friendship with the world makes you an enemy of God? If I say it again, if you want to be a friend of the world, you make yourself an enemy of God. We've got to check our motives. We've got to check our motives. A condition, a basic condition of having our prayers answered by God is making sure that our motives are right. Making sure that we are seeking God's glory. Another basic condition is maintaining right relationships. Maintaining right relationships and forgiving others. Forgiving others. This is a very sensitive area for me because I've had many opportunities to forgive. And God has brought me to a season in my life where those perpetual, what is the term I want to use? The habitual line crossers, habitual boundary crossers who you forgive over and over again for the same thing. God has allowed me to release them from my life. About a year ago, it was so difficult for me, but it was almost like I saw and I could not unsee. There are those who I've allowed to come into my life within close proximity that I know without a shadow of a doubt that when God takes me closer to the goal of the objectives that he has for me spiritually, these are the people that are going to, in some way, be used by the enemy to attack. I realized that oftentimes people are entertained by my pain. They're entertained, especially in the area of my marriage, Anybody who knows me knows I don't play games when it comes to my husband. I do not play games. And people see it as insecurities. I'm not insecure about nothing because I know what I got. I'm cautious. I'm proactive. And people have over the years used the deficiencies in my marriage to try to build entertainment for their gossip. And so I got to a point I had to start looking and making decisions. I said, these people, they're not who they are presenting themselves as. I had to realize, I said, if I'm always inviting you to my home and you're having events and things and you're not inviting me, we ain't that close. And I'm okay with that. But the shields that I release and the walls that I let down are for those that have covenant or relationship intimacy with me, not just for any and everybody. And I had to realize it was an incident that happened. Over the years, I felt people have isolated my children because of how they felt about me. Not inviting them to things, experiences and events and things with their children. And my baby's left out and me feeling bad and trying to fill in the gap by going and I'm going to go get everybody's kids so my kids can have kids to play with because I knew how people felt about me. And I got to a point where I had to repent and apologize and really break down and apologize to my children for allowing them to have those life experiences, and I mishandled them because I put a greater emphasis on building the relationship with these people than protecting my children. And so when I saw it cross over into the next generation, when I would hear of little things and little, you know, things they would have and not include my grandchildren, and I would let it slide. But eventually I said, well, wait a minute. We're not going to do this in the next generation. But I forgive you. But I cannot allow you within that close of proximity to my family to continue to hurt us, even if you're doing it without intent, even if you're doing it unintentionally, you're still doing it. This very same person, I remember most devastating news I ever received when I learned that my husband had fathered another child as we were in a relationship. She brought his first mom to my house. And even though that was a point in time where I believe they just didn't like me at that time, but it was a reality as a woman, how dare you? How could you? And she's never apologized for that act. She's always glossed over it. But when this happened and I saw them for who they were, I saw them as a tool that the enemy was using to try to destroy me, even if they did it without intent. I said, how could you? Thinking that you were going to even the planes and you were going to play God and give her her get back. Those types of things, especially after my mother passed and all of these memories flooded me of the abuse, the bullying that I endured with this family over the years. God said, I release you to release them. And so I've had to deal with them since then. Even when I decided, I said, God, I'm done. It hurts because I love them dearly. I love them. They are incapable of truly loving me. But I love them. But I gotta let them go, because the closer I get to your call, the more they're going to allow the enemy to use them to hurt me and hurt my family and dishonor my marriage that they don't even agree with or believe in to begin with. They say it on the surface, but you see through their actions how they dishonor my marriage. But nonetheless, I've had some interactions with them. And here you come to my home, and I've been very clear, very, very clear about the hurt and the pain that certain individuals have done in my life. You've even cried with me, but yet you want to give me a status update on their life and the things that's going on. I don't want to hear that. But the fact that you don't have that sensitivity to me, especially when I am pressing, I'm pressing. Yes, I forgive you. I forgive you, but I can love you from a distance. I guarantee you. I ain't got nothing against you. I'll love you and embrace you when I see you. But yes, you will not, you or no one else will hurt my family. So imagine if the shoes were on the other foot. And I've oftentimes tried to compel people to see my circumstance and their behaviors towards me through their own lives. Imagine if it was your husband and your in-laws who were doing the same thing. You've been in the conversation. You know the conversations that have been had. You know the gossiping times I've allowed you to get so close to me and giving you intimate details about my life. And you've shared them with people who could care less about me. And I've had to have this conversation over the years. Folks who love you don't love me. Don't share my business. But anyway, what are we talking about? We're talking about prayer. And Prophetess is going down this tangent because I wanted to explain that one of the key conditions, one of the basic conditions of prayer, in addition to praying with the right motive, is maintaining right relationships and forgiving others. And maintaining right relationships, we must seek God for discernment and guidance, because the enemy will trick us and deceive us, because to think that if you hold a position, if you hold a title in our lives, that you hold a place and a space in right relationship. And that is not reality. There are people who are toxic. There are people who the enemy will use to destroy you. So you have to make sure that you are in right relationship, because it can hinder your prayers. It can hinder your prayers. I've seen many profound ministers, especially evangelists, that God has used through their lives in a magnificent way. And they get caught up in relationships, especially with these men, love affairs, marrying the wrong person. And it hinders your prayers. It hinders your prayers. Another key element, or a basic condition for prayers and our prayers being answered, is seeking guidance from the Holy Spirit, allowing the Holy Ghost to instruct us. Romans 8 and 14, 26 through 27. Ephesians 3 and 20 instructs us to seek guidance from the Holy Spirit. Another condition that allows us to have our prayers answered is when and if we base our prayers on the Word of God. In 1 Chronicles 17 and 23 and Luke 1 and 38, it instructs us and admonishes us to pray with the Word of God. The Word of God is very powerful, and praying God's Word will yield results. Prayer should be like a symphony with the Holy Spirit as the conductor. You ever seen a symphony? You ever seen the conductor leading and guiding the musicians with the instruments in the right way at the right time? The Holy Spirit is the conductor of our prayer. And God's will is the driver of prayer. It is the connector. It connects everything together. God has given us everything that we need to develop in our relationship with Him, to increase in our prayer with Him. God not only hears the prayers of the righteous, God also hears the sinner's prayer. But in order for God to hear the sinner's prayer, there must be conditions and considerations that are met. Number one, repentance. Repentance is a necessary condition for God to hear the prayers of the sinner. When a sinner genuinely repents and turns away from their sin, God is inclined to hear our prayer. Psalms 34 and 18, it says, "The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed spirit." When a sinner sincerely seeks God, God looks at the heart and the sincerity of the person who is seeking Him. In Acts 10, 1 through 4, it talks about the story of Cornelius, the Gentile, who was considered a sinner by Jewish standards, who sought God sincerely and God heard him. It is by God's grace that he hears the sinners. God's grace is extended to all, but most importantly and especially to the sinner. Romans 5 and 8 tells us, but God commendeth his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. This scripture demonstrates God's willingness to engage with the sinner. We have to understand that these are the conditions by which God will hear the sinner, but we have to be cautious. We have to be cautious because our sin will hinder our relationship with God. God is always open to hearing the prayers of the sinners, continuous and their repentance. Isaiah 59 and 2 says, but your iniquities have separated you from your God. Your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear. Our continuous sin and unrepentant hearts will hinder our relationship with God to where he will not hear us. So we have to be careful and we have to be cautious that while these conditions apply, that through repentance, through seeking God sincerely and by God's grace, he will hear our prayers. We have to be cautious in knowing that our sin will hinder our prayers. God is willing to hear the prayers of sinners, but sincere repentance, seeking God's forgiveness and a desire to turn away from sinful ways are the important factors that will allow us to be heard by God. Sin and unbelief, idolatry, disobedience, pride, unforgiveness, and self-righteousness will separate us from God. Transgression of his law, wrongdoing and iniquity, missing the mark of what he has called us to, sinning against others, our thoughts, our intentions will create an environment that will hinder our prayers. Yet Jesus has redeemed us through faith and his sacrificial atonement. And through that redemption, God has opened the doors to allow us to pray without ceasing, to pray, to seek his face. You going through struggles in your life? Pray. Sometimes I get silent. I back up. I back away. I get real quiet when I'm going through. And it takes the Holy Spirit to come and nudge me to pray. To pray. And sometimes I get to such a state where I'm like, okay, now I know I ain't been praying, but now I need to petition God. And that condemnation, that guilt starts to set in. Well, how you gonna just pray for this and you ain't been praying? God says pray. Your children are wayward, going in the wrong direction. Pray. I was listening to a testimony the other day, CeCe Winans. She was talking about her son and a season of struggle that she was having with him where he was rebelling against her. He was rebelling against the church. He was rebelling against God. And she mentioned that the enemy had even tried to take his life. She had gotten so weary and so tired, but she did not stop praying for her son. And he is now walking in the call that God has placed on his life. He is walking and actively in ministry. We've got to have a Holy Ghost boldness to where we will pray and seek God and unrelentingly believe on him to change the things in our lives. Some of you are going through challenges with depression and anxiety and other emotional wellness issues. God says pray. God says pray. And you all know, as a life coach, as someone that is in the helps ministry and industry, that I believe in therapy. I believe in finding somebody to talk to, preferably somebody who has the same spiritual foundation that you have. But baby, when I tell you it takes prayer, it takes prayer. Getting in the face of God. Talking to him, talking it out with Jesus. That's what's going to change your circumstance and your situation. Some of you are struggling in your finances, struggling on your job, struggling in life, struggling in your communities. I'm telling you, if you pray, you're going to see change. God sent me here today to encourage you to pray. Now, this is not a hooping and hollering and you know, profound revelation message. It is a reminder. It is a reminder to you that God is a prayer answering God. And he is a God who is faithful to answer our prayers. Now, I'm going to leave you with this. I'm going to leave you with this. And in the next segment, I'm going to pray. But I want you to know that you don't need some fancy seminar, workshop, coming together where you pay hundreds of thousands of dollars, get in somebody's line and pay them to teach you how to pray. And as much as you have the ability to think thoughts, speak words, and meditate on who he is, you got everything you need. Everything you need. You may not pray with the same inflections that I pray in, or the same tone, or the same, volume. But that's me. That's my relationship with God. And if you're not careful with that mimicking spirit, that imitating spirit, you will be subject to those who, what is the scripture? Having a form of godliness. And not acknowledging the power thereof. I listen to some of these ministers sometimes, and I'm going to be honest, lately, I can't even ingest this mess in my spirit. But sometimes every now and then I'll come across something. And what I've seen is that church folk who have mastered and perfected the church culture, dialect, and ways of communicating have adopted and assimilated into the way of projecting. And because they inflect their words a certain way, or raise their volume a certain way, or land on a certain key, we think that they're anointed. That has nothing to do with the anointing. They may have a gift of pretend, acting, projecting, but it ain't no anointing. seek God, ask Him for discernment, get into His presence, open up your prayer life. I'm telling you, ask God, ask Him for the unimaginable. Ask Him to heal situations that you are enduring. Trust Him because there's nothing impossible for Him. Amen. All right. Father, we thank You for this opportunity to come into Your presence and to come before Your people. Lord God, I pray that they receive something from on high. Father God, I ask that You will have Your way and let Your will be done, Lord Jesus, in our lives. Allow this word to manifest in our lives, Lord God. Allow it to come alive in us. Help us to increase in our relationship with You and in our prayer life, Lord God. Help us to seek You first in Your righteousness, Your kingdom, my God, to turn from our ways, Lord God, and to seek Your face. That You will hear us from heaven and heal our land. We need a healing. We need a touch. We need You, Lord. Father, now we ask that You seal this prayer through our faith this morning, Lord Jesus, and that You will have Your way and let Your perfect will be done. As we go into prayer, that You will hear our plea. In Jesus' name we pray. Thank God. Amen and amen.